Miller.
Welcome back to another episode of Tiger Turf Talk. I'm your host, Drew Miller. We're here with Will Cole, the Director of Field Operations for the Salem Red Sox. How are you doing this morning? How's everything going?
Pretty good. Getting ready for Christmas.
Oh, that's the best, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny. I'm always like, Christmas is one of my favorite times of the year, and I'm always excited. But you get to, like, when it starts, like, December 20th, you're like, oh, it's here. It's going to be, like, gone in a little bit of time, and it's over. You know, like, you start to get a little sad, but it's, like, everything you've been waiting for, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a last-minute shopper type of guy. So
me too. I have to do that on the way home from thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome. Luckily, this year was a little opposite of my normal year. You know, I have three kids and a wife, so, you know, my shopping is very intense sometimes, and it's, the list is very long, but we were able to get it done. Monday, I think. Monday or Tuesday, we got it done. So
nice and early. Probably Legos. What else we got on that list?
Nintendo Switch. He saved up his own money. Well, he saved up his own money to buy his own Switch. So, you know, we get him accessories and games every once in a while. So, you know, I got two daughters. So, Barbie and Paw Patrol are two big ones. Disney princesses. You know, my son's more into sports, so we do a lot of sportsy stuff. Actually, in about 2 or 3 weeks, he'll start up lacrosse.
Sport, but that's fine. We'll be okay with it, you know. we'll get over it. It's fine. Big baseball guy, you know. But no, I love how some things, you know, like stand the test of time. You know, like Barbie's been around forever. And, you know, I don't know what the other one was, but, you know, it's fun to see, like, there are things that survive.
Oh, for sure. Like the Legos now is intense. Like, you know, when I was a kid back in the 90s, it was like, you got a box of Legos and there really wasn't like any instruction. You just kind of built your own thing.
Now it's like, fun, you know.
now you can go and build the Titanic if you want.
Ours were like the big blocks. You know what I'm talking about? I forget what they're
called. Duplo blocks.
Yeah, you would just build forts, you know.
Yeah,
that is the best, you know. But no, Legos are crazy. I forget there's an NBA guy that was like, you know, he like prides himself in his Legos, and he has like this own like, I mean, he does 5 hours Legos a day. He like had did a whole interview on it. I was like, that's God bless, like, good for you. But like, geez, I could not stay that focused on one thing for 3 hours, you know.
No, I mean, some of those sets are cool, but.
Oh, 100%.
Let's see how many pieces they are.
The Death Star, I'd love to build that. But, like, it's, like, yay big, you know? It's like, oh, my goodness, yeah. It could be possible, right? So, obviously, you got a lot going on. First of all, I want to start off with this because I've talked to a couple of my buddies. We were at Virginia Tech together for undergraduate and everything, and we've seen the Salem Red Sox Stadium. We've seen everything from way back when I graduated in 2016. So, and we were talking, this was a few weeks ago, actually, and we talked about how incredible the field looks with you at the helm, you know. And it's nothing against the guys before, because they have obviously had their own struggles when it comes to budgeting and all that. And I'm not saying it's better for you, but it has looked so incredible this past season. And I just want to give you, you know, your props for that, because it's truly completely different from what it looked like even just 2 or 3 years ago, you know? So I want to make sure you heard that, because that's incredible work that you're doing down there.
I appreciate it. You know, it's not just me. It's a whole team of people. So
For sure. And not knocking your staff at all, but like, I just wanted to let you know, because it's truly incredible. You know, it looks completely different. I mean, it seems like it plays different when it comes to, you know, the overall, you know, playability of it and just longevity. The big thing that we were just talking about is you're not just a one team site, you know. Could you sort of discuss sort of all the different aspects of your job, and when it comes to Roanoke College to, I mean, I'm sure that you hosted our team actually in the state semifinals or something way back in the day. Like, there's just so many different things that go on. So for you, when it comes to all your work, what is it that you're really able to cover and really, you know, going above and beyond the call of duty in a sense, you know?
So, I mean, on a typical year, we're starting Rona College January 15th. It's a little bit different with our big renovation that we just had. But, you know, usually my GM will talk about, you know, this many days until opening day for the Salem Red Sox. And I'm like, well, doesn't really count for me because we're, you know, two and a half months already in a role with, you know, Roanoke College. And they're practicing and playing here 4 to 5, 6 days a week sometimes. And, you know, basically I just try to take every waking minute I have when there's nobody on the field in the winter. You know, seed turf blankets protection is crazy during the winter because, I mean, we are a bluegrass field. So, you know, just because it's cool season doesn't mean it's going to recover very easily when it's 30 degrees outside, 40 degrees outside. And then we kind of roll into the Red Sox. And for the first month of the Red Sox, we'll have Roanoke and the Red Sox playing at the same time. You know, the Red Sox are here, Roanoke choosing on the road, vice versa. You know, it gets a little nuts. You know, cultivation is a big factor here. And that was one program that we really didn't have too much in the past. And, you know, I was able to start March with the Deton and Deton March, April, and May. You know, and, you know, we fertilize and, you know, give the turf what it needs every 2 weeks, basically. And this year we're probably going to change it up a little bit, go a little bit more frequent. And we seed bank in the spring, and just to try to give it that little bit of extra coverage after getting beat up by, you know, college and professional baseball for the first few months. And then June rolls around and we're only Red Sox, well, really May, but June rolls around. And then this past few years, we've actually hosted the semifinals and the finals for high school baseball here. And then it's just, you know, special events sprinkled in. It's just like almost every other minor league team in the United States, really. It's kind of, you know, they try to put everything on here. We have dog training here. You know, we have movie nights. You know, we've talked about doing cornhole. It just gets a little crazy. So, you know,
not the cornhole. That's talk about wear spots. Good night.
Yeah, we talked about doing it in the infield, like on the clay. Mm-hmm. And it never really panned out, but I think we're going to revisit that.
Tell them to buy a bunch of hitting masks for you. You know,
you know, I'll say the front office staff is pretty good to me when they do special events. So, you know, we got some pretty exciting things coming up. You know, our team got bought by DBH Diamond Baseball Holdings this past March, and you know, at first you're kind of like, oh snap, we just got bought out, right? You don't really know what's going to happen. And, you know, it's been a pretty, at least in the ops, it's been pretty exciting for the ops department, pretty exciting the last few months. And, you know, they got some pretty fun events hopefully coming in the future, and more work for me and my staff, but, you know, it's always fun. I enjoy those events, really. You know, everybody always talks about the movie nights and blankets on the turf and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, I have three kids, right? So, you know, if they're out here enjoying having fun, then, you know, that's what really matters. The little extra work that I might have to do for these events or, you know, renovations, I might be cussing at myself and, you know, fussing a little bit. But, you know, all in, it works. It, you know, it's worth it at the end. So
we all have those moments, you know, you're just like, why did I do that? Why am I doing this? Who said this was my job? Sure. You know, I just, end, you know, the end of the job description, you know, duties as a sign. I'm like, sure. That should be plus 40 grand on that if you want to add this, you know, bullet point to my contract, you know.
that would be nice. 40 grand, that'd be nice, for sure.
I'm just saying, you know, the way they add things up and it just keeps, you know, by the way, I forgot to tell you in charge of this, and like, oh, I see what you did there, you know?
Yeah, the event schedule, like, starts off really small, and then, throughout the year. It's just like bam, 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 bam.
You're like, this wasn't, what are you doing to me? Like, what?
Oh, don't forget our movie night, or you know, our Oktoberfest thing. And
excuse me, you said Oktoberfest. Yeah. Does that come with the free beer card too, or what?
yeah, I mean, I guess it could. Yeah,
deal with that if there's a card involved, you know.
We actually had some fun at this year's Oktoberfest. So
that's good.
We had a grounds crew like tattoo truck. You know, I'm probably one of the few guys that didn't just spend their career in sports turf. I kind of left professional sports for a while and did like right away in Highbury turf, which was still fun. And, you know, I always tell my wife I should have never left, but I did. But in that way, you know, I connected with a lot of guys and girls too, you know, through the industry. And, you know, we did a touch of truck and it wrapped all the way almost around the whole warning track. So, you know, that was one of those almost full circle moments, really, where, you know, the groundskeeper could really have some fun and want to, like, an event that usually is kind of like dreaded. You're like, oh, there's 2,000 people on the field. But I mean, it goes back to like, you know, movie nights. My kids have fun. And you see fun. You have like 1,800 kids, I believe. It was over 3,000 people. The field was fun, but, you know, again, it was one of those things. It was like, you know, oh man, people actually know who the groundskeeper is, because you know, that's something that not many people know. It's like, oh yeah, the field looks great, the stripes look great, you know, but no one really knows. We'll talk to the groundskeeper. So that was kind of an opportunity for us and to really kind of get to know the community. And I mean, you're from South, well, you went to school in Southwest Virginia, so you know how small this area can be. So
100%. So I was actually going to ask about that, you know, being able to be a part of that community, you know, with the Virginia Tech staff, with people like Chad Croft, like just Southwest Virginia, there's just incredible people and incredible professionals. What has it been like to be a part of that sort of, you know, niche of Virginia sports field management, you know, and just seeing it grow? I mean, because it's grown so much since even when I left college, you know. What has that been like for you and really just being a part of that?
It's actually been really, really good for me as a person, but also my career. And, you know, I'm a big guy that loves to network and talk. I probably talk too much, to be honest.
No, it's all good.
But, to have Chad and, you know, Rodney Jordan, you know, me and Rodney have, been kind of as a partner. He actually does some of our fertilization here at the Salem Red Sox and then at a sports complex I ran. So me and him have kind of had a great partnership the last few years. And then obviously having Chad, who to me is a legend in baseball. And if no one knows who Chad Croft is, you need to definitely look him up. He is with Bulldog Equipment, probably a lot of the home plates and rubbers that everybody uses and doesn't realize that's where they're from. And then having Dr. Goatley and Dan around is, you know, outstanding. I actually went up 2 weeks ago and with Chad, actually, and we talked to the Turf Grass Club or the Turf Club. And that was just a really an amazing experience.
Probably met a few of my former students there.
Yeah, actually I did. And yeah. You know, they say they had good times. And, you know, I enjoy talking to the youth and just kind of the next generation, right? You know, like my son's here almost every day, really, during the season, really to spend time. But then he also really loves being around, like, what we do and will help out. So, I mean, it's, you know, the next generation is where it's at. So
sounds like he needs a contract. You know, let them know. Hey, he's doing a lot of work here. Okay. He's not free labor. Okay.
he gets paid Chick-fil-A. And,
hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Let me tell you. That adds up pretty quick.
It does.
It's good job. No, for sure. Now, part of all that, you know, and Dr. Goatley, Dr. Sander has such a big part of it. You know, we talked a little bit about before the Virginia SFMA. I know you've been involved with where you were before, Rivers Edge, right? Is that, am I saying that, yep, right? And then obviously, I think you've hosted both days, actually, if I'm saying that right, right? You've hosted the two regional days for Virginia sports.
Yeah, so last year we hosted in August, at Rivers Edge Forest Complex. It's actually nestled literally in the middle of Roanoke, downtown Roanoke. And that was a good turnout. It was probably one of the higher ones we've had. At least that's what I'm being told. And, you know, again, it goes with – it was partnering with Chad and Rodney. And, you know, Rodney Jordan has all the toys that anyone could ever imagine. You know, the turf professional, if you want a toy or attachment, most likely Rodney has it. So actually both field days of last year and this year where we hosted here, you know, me and Chad talk, we've gotten pretty good at talking about infields and, you know, type of infield dirt, and, you know, warning track. And then Rodney will go, and Rodney actually teams up with Dr. Goatley. They talk about different practices of cultivation, when they, you know, when you do it. And again, Rodney has anything and everything you think of, a shockwave, deep time, you know, it's incredible how much stuff he has.
You sometimes wish you were that guy, right? You wish you had those things where you just pull it out of the shed and go out there. You're like, yeah, I'm gonna shockwave today. I'm like, huh? No, that costs about, you know, $3,000 to do from someone else, you know.
Yeah.
But
three grand for him to do and $40,000 for the attachment.
Let me do some numbers here. You know, that's what I always say that. I'm always like, hey boss, you know, we can sit down and we can argue all day, but in the end, I will shockwave this field and every single one that we have, all 30 acres, for the same price if we just bought one, you know? And then it's like, well, you know, and then like 3 or 4 years later, you're like, we're already up there, aren't we? On cost, aren't we? So, yeah. You know, it's always fun. It's always fun, you know, fighting those battles and never winning, but... You know, we all wish we had that kind of money. It's just never going to happen.
You know, I tip my hat to everybody that can afford those attachments and the equipment.
I tip their
hat. Maybe one day we'll get there.
Send me your old stuff now, please.
Yeah. Can you just donate it?
100%. Now, obviously, we talked about it. Back-to-back Field of the Year winners for Virginia SFMA, you know.
Yeah.
Part of that is going to the symposium that is hosted by Virginia Sports Film Management Association. Could you sort of speak to that event and how, you know, over the last 2 years you've, you know, benefited from it, and really just overall your affiliation and membership with the, you know, the regional chapter here in Virginia and what it's meant for you?
Yeah, so I've kind of been on and off. Again, I left sports turf for a few years, so, you know, I obviously didn't have that membership. And I remember the days when I was at Longwood University, and we were at, I think it was at UVA at that point. I got back into sports turf. Shout out to Sam Dickerson, who, you know, threw me a bone and got me back in. And, you know, look at me now. But, you know, to me, again, I think I just said it about a few minutes ago, was just networking. I mean, that is like the biggest thing, right? You know, you go to the national conference and you'll see everybody, anybody basically, right? You, I mean, you go to Virginia, you know, their regional, you know, yearly symposium, and you'll see basically anyone and everyone in Virginia, really. So you'll have, you know, some guys that are in parks and rec, you'll have guys that are professional sports, you know, universities, you know. You weren't there, but, you know, Dale Thomas was there. So, so you do have some of the teachers there. I mean, it's great. Like, they have speakers there every year. And, you know, every year I always try to, you know, my dad was a firefighter, and, you know, he instilled in me pretty early, right? Was, you know, if you fail in life, if you don't learn one single thing a day. And that doesn't mean like one thing in your career, right? It could be, you know, one random thing. So I always kind of instill that into myself and in my staff and my kids. So going to the symposium is, I mean, people are like, oh yeah, you got speakers. And, you know, some people are going to be I worked Parks and Rec, and I know some of the staff there. Like, oh, this is like a science thing. Like, I'm not going to learn anything. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's like that, but that's not really what those are for. It's really for networking, right? And really, you know, I can go to Tyler or the Hillcats at any point, but you know, can I talk to the staff at, you know, Norfolk or Richmond very easily? No. Or I might even have a university that has the same bluegrass I have, and I didn't know that. And, you know, we can go back and forth and, you know, just kind of chat each other up and see where we're at. And, hey, I can help you with this. You know, can you help me with that? I mean, it's been outstanding. And obviously, I've won back-to-back Field of the Years in different categories, one for Parks and Rec on my time at River's Edge, and then now this year, professional. You know, these awards are great. There was actually a speaker there that talked about, like, the different generations. And I'm a 92 baby, so I'm a millennial. Millennials, baby. And, you know, one thing I enjoy is just showing off my work, right? You know, if I win a trophy, that's great. But at the same time, you know, my wife always jokes on me that I have more pictures of my field and my work than I have of my three kids and her. And really now my dog, because, you know, I have a dog.
Oh, it's part of the job. Yeah, happens, you know. I mean, right now, let's see this. You'll notice most of it is green.
Yeah, I see that.
It's not a choice. It's just, you know, it has to happen. We don't have a choice.
Yeah, it's like in my contract that no one talks about. It's one of those like things, like when you sign up to be a groundskeeper or even landscape, right? You know, even the landscape guys that mow front yards and backyards, they're taking pictures of their stripes.
It's they're no doing difference. TikToks and everything.
You
know,
yeah.
There's no way of, you know, preventing it. It just happens.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just one thing. So, I mean, I always enjoy the regional ones. Honestly, more than I do the national ones, just because it's a smaller group. And yeah, again, I love talking, but smaller groups are always less intimidating. And, you know, it's always good to see your friends here in Virginia. And, you know, again, I've won Field of the Year back to back, but it's always good to really see the other people that have won that haven't got to win. You know, this year, Parks and Rec. Todd came up here from Florida. I talked to him quite a lot before he made the move, and he won Field of the Year for Parks and Rec and is kicking ass in Harrisonburg. So, you know, taps, you know, hats off to him. And, you know, Dale Thomas, you know, a high school out of Chesterfield, won Field of the Year. So,
right.
You know, yeah. So that's a, you know, that's always fun to see. And again, just, you know, catching up and sharing pictures. I probably got my phone out four or five times sharing pictures with other guys that weren't even in professional sports. It was just kind of, hey, what's your field look like? So, you know.
Those are always fun. You know, it's I enjoy the national because I get to see the people that I don't usually get to see. But you are right. There's a whole different, like, level of, I don't know if it's pressure or, yeah, you know, like, type of thing, you know. But it's interesting because, again, like, when you talk about regional events, like, it's meant for those things, but at the same time, like, you just really become good friends with people, you know. You might have mentioned Tyler was up here with Irish last Thursday. We all grabbed dinner. It was just, you know,
yeah.
And that's just in passing. It just happens, you know. It's just like, yeah. Hey, we're gonna. Oh, you're here around here or something? Like, yeah, let's do it. So, you know, that's what I love the Virginia guys, just because we have such a great group of human beings. You know, like, we're not here for, like, the politics of it. We're not here for the, oh, this has to be this because of that, right? You know, Brian Hinckley is an incredible guy. You know, he's, like, so down to earth and such an incredible person. Like, he's just awesome, you know, and being able to work with these guys. And then, like you said, down at Tech, you have Sandor and Dr. Goatley, and even Ask You and McCall and everybody that's there. It's just, you know, it's a culture around here that's just kind of different than most places, you know? So,
sure.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more on that. Obviously, when you talk about specifically your region, a lot of bluegrass and everything is not really the field of choice when it comes to people. You know, like up here, we're all Bermuda, Virginia Tech, Bermuda, Bermuda, Bermuda. And I know you inherited it, and it's just been always been bluegrass. But what has it been like for you to sort of, you know, be able to take that on and make it your own in a way, you know, because there's so many different things, you know, that people don't really recognize. Like down there in the valley and the Blue Ridge and everything, like there are so many different factors that lead to issues for bluegrass, specifically during the summertime. But what has it been like for you to sort of been able to combat that and see sort of even now, like you said, you're tucking her away because she doesn't withstand 30 degree times. No one does, but what has it been like for you? You know, just be getting used to it and understanding it.
So really, it's kind of like I guess I can like tag myself as a Bermuda guy, right? Like, you know, the sports complex I ran, Bermuda, Virginia Tech, Bermuda. Fun fact, we're the only team in the Carolina League that doesn't have Bermuda. Now, Marva has Tifton, I believe, but you know, everybody has the, you know, that's probably one of the biggest challenges I have is, you know, when it comes to the professional baseball players that are like used to the 3/4 of an inch to 1/2 an inch, right? Like, I mean, I'm sure I could mow the bluegrass, but is
You
it
can push
gonna,
it.
you know?
You can push it, but it's not the best thing to do, though,
Yeah.
right?
So, you know, coming here and I've worked game day here actually. You know, I've gone through some of those groundskeepers that have been here for a few years now. So, you know, I've kind of got to see what it worst case scenario and best case scenario of this bluegrass. And, you know, we replaced the field in 2018, 19, something like that. We're HDT, which here it wants to act like Bermuda. I don't know if that's like all around, but you know, in the winter it gets this yellowy, almost looks like a notepad. And then when it wakes up, it's real luscious green. And in the summer, that's when it gets fun, right? You know, we're in the middle of the transition zone, and everyone else has Bermuda, and I'm stuck here with bluegrass. So yeah, I mean, fungicides galore. That's what I live off of, right? You know, this year I actually had some good success with some growth regulator during the summer, and it really helped it. But yeah, I mean, you're gonna fight your diseases. I'm probably using 10 times as much water as anyone else is in their region, or even our league, Carolina League. So, you know, it's always a challenge with any type of grass that you have, but it's definitely a tough one here. The winter is always the fun part. I mean, not the winter, but the summer. You know, from mid-June to I'd say probably mid-September, I'm basically holding my breath, and you know, I'm not opening the surface at
Yes,
all, and I'm just
do it,
holding my
Mother
breath.
Nature. Do not do it.
Yeah, I'm just feeding it and just praying at this point. And then come mid-September, we're opening her up, we're top dressing, and she's ready to roll. And you know, we kick off. You know, we did growth regulator from mid-May when it started to wake up, really. Again, the HGT bluegrass just took forever to wake up, but once we got it to wake up, it looked pretty. From mid-May to end of August, and then just let it roll in September, and it definitely helped quite a lot with the play to get it almost like that carpet feel like Bermuda has. Obviously, I'm not mowing it that low. We're at an inch and a quarter, and that seemed to be. I mean, it was kind of like a play, right? You know, I started at the beginning of the year at 2 inches while the college was here just to see how it would recover, and then, you know, we dropped it down to 1 3/4 when the professionals got here, when the Red Sox got here, and then dropped it down to 1 1/2, and then eventually got it to 1 1/4. Where, all right, we know this thing can withstand the beating. Can it recover? And obviously, you know, players want it shorter, just for the play of it. And you know, again, live and die off of her, off of fungicide during the summer for sure. If you miss a fungicide application, you are SOL.
Like, well, that's not supposed to be there. Oh, shoot. We forgot. Has there been any discussions about Bermuda grass? I know there were not discussions like actual discussions, but I know Dr. Goatley during our time there, like there were discussions between like peers, like, hey, why wouldn't they just, sprig Bermuda into it and hope for the best, or like have a transition tier, or just come in, strip it, phrase it out, put Bermuda down. Were there any conversations about that or anything that you would be interested in? It's a big in a way, but at the same time, with all the PDL stuff, which we'll get here in a minute, like, have there been any discussions,
I mean, there's obviously been discussions, and we talked about like the community group that's within Southwest Virginia. Murray Cook, who does all the MLB stuff,
yeah, he wrote the book, right?
Yeah, I mean, he wrote the book. He's probably a few miles from the stadium. I don't know exactly where he lives, but I know he lives here in Salem. So,
okay, by the way,
he's a great guy, and he's talked about Bermuda over the years. And again, I've been kind of a part of this organization for a while now, and every year it's come up. Oh, let's do Bermuda.
Hey, just so you know.
there was even discussions when we did our renovation. I had the deep dive into the PDL and figure out, all right, well, can I do a Bermuda? Could I do Bermuda? And then just kind of like slowly but surely, introduce it to the outfield, and then
to the rest of it. Yeah.
Well, I can't do that. So it has to be like one type of turf. So, honestly, there will always be conversations just because we're a professional stadium, right? So, I think, and even if we put Bermuda in, then people are going to say, well, we missed the bluegrass. We missed how green it was. We missed the striping of it, right? I mean, and a lot of our events are going to be
on rye grass. You're welcome.
On rye grass. So it's like, I mean, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, really, to be honest here.
For sure.
Right now, we're fully committed to bluegrass. We just put another 18,000 square feet of 365. So, it's just going to be a fun bluegrass place. And, I'm growing to love it. At first, I was, God, what the hell did I do to myself? and now it's just become like me and my assistant Dakota, who I originally wasn't in turf at all, and now he's going to minor in turf at Tech. So welcome to the dark side, Dakota. And one thing we prided ourselves on, and I know it's been talked about in like previous podcasts, like the reviews, right? And the reviews that we get from the home side and the visiting side. And we pride ourselves being the only cool season bluegrass in the Carolina League. It's one of the oldest leagues in the minor league. So, it's something that we, obviously I'd, in July, I'm like, dang, I wish I had Bermuda, right? Homer, even latitude. at the same time, I'm like, man, yep, my field's pretty green, and it's Kentucky bluegrass in April when everybody else is in ryegrass, right? So it's kind of, double-edged sword. I love it. Some people don't. Some people are like, why do we not have Bermuda? I mean, I think it'll be a debate until it actually happens, if it ever happens. And to be honest, I don't see it happening. So,
bluegrass is a beautiful thing when it works.
Yeah, when it works, my stadium's a perfect. Our stadium's a perfect classroom for bluegrass in June and July.
That's not what you want, That's for sure. Even like up in like New York and Pittsburgh, where I was at, it's still a classroom during those times, But it's definitely, it's a pretty thing when it works, That's all I got. I'm sorry.
I don't want to get too much in trouble, but
no. You're good. No, for sure. And I didn't mean to do anything.
Oh, you're good. You're not giving me trouble. I've said it to so many people.
Hey, what's going on? Just a quick update on, Bermuda grass. It's doing great, maybe just a thought. Obviously, there's a lot of things that you can do to, make bluegrass work. You're restricted in a lot of different ways when it comes to events and stuff like that. culturally speaking, what other than fungicides, because obviously we know that's important, what are you really, able to do at specific times in the year to make sure that your bluegrass is shining during those difficult months? What are you focusing on to ensure the health and safety of that plant?
So really it's kind of I've really done it wherever I've gone, right? The root zone is the most important part. If you got a shallow root zone in bluegrass and come June and July, yeah, you're toast. Sorry. RIP to that bluegrass.
It's over.
Yeah, so in the spring and fall are really big for me. I mean, obviously it's like, you go to turf school, you're like, oh yeah, cool season. Spring and fall, right? You can't really do anything in the summer. So I try to pound it starting in March. We'll go out with granular liquid fertilizers. And again, this year we kind of tested it with growth regulator, and it worked actually really, really well. So we're actually going to try it in April before opening day and see, okay, can we continue to push it sideways, and is it going to grow really well? And we did a lot of deep tining. When I first got here, the root zone was like an inch. It was pretty bad. So now we're sitting at about an inch and a half. So we deep tined four times before June came. We did aeration with the Ventrac in July, in June, and that was it. We couldn't really touch it. I'm a big soccer guy, so I have like the little mini pitchforks, and we'll go throughout and get some hot spots in June, July, and August, and poke some holes in it and dump a 5 gallon bucket on it. It's great times. It works. And then in the fall, we have the minor leagues until if they make the playoffs, third week of September. And then we have Rona College fall ball. So that was one thing I didn't say earlier was, our baseball schedule goes until January 15th to October 15th. But again, my front office staff has been really great. And, I have two blackout weeks that I get to choose, right? I look at the calendar and I'm like, all right, yeah. I'll try to really push the root zone. I mean, that's really what I've seen that works, at least for this field. I mean, snap, I can go to another bluegrass field that may not work, right? But in Bermuda and bluegrass that I've had in the past, it's worked great, and I'll continue to preach that root zone, root zone, root zone, and then just feed it, right? Don't let it get hungry. So we're feeding it every 14 days, really. Liquid granular, rotating, different fertilizers every time. And that's really worked. Right now, I got turf buckets on the new sod and the 95, the whole infield, and the whole outfield still looks as green as it did in September. So I'm actually pretty proud with where we put it to bed. And what are we, 3 days from Christmas and a month and a half from opening day for us. And we don't really have that yellowish tint that we had with the HUT, which, when we're seed banking, I am introducing more bluegrass and other than the HUT to give it that greenish look. 'Cause, going to opening day for the Red Sox and you still got a like gold tint to it, it's not the prettiest look, right? So, we're looking pretty good. So cultivation is really huge for me in deep time. If that's one thing I could get, that's probably the one thing I'd buy. Deep time for sure.
It's always the nice thing to have, in your back pocket. It's no biggie. I am grateful to just have my 648, to be honest with you, because before we got that, I was just rolling it. And I was like, this isn't doing anything. Oh, yeah. And you.
I mean, right now I have zero cultivation. All I have is my mini pitchforks, right? So, going back to Rodney and, his company,
Hey
Rodney.
Rodney, just quick shout out, man.
Yeah.
I'll do an ad
Yeah.
read for him. Just give him a couple cultural practices per season. obviously, there's so much that goes into it. You talked about, your family and everything that goes into just the whole aspect of maintaining a playing surface at, one of the highest levels, on top of everybody wanting to put everything on your surface. When it comes to work-life balance, what are you focusing on? Obviously you talked about how your son's around all the time, which helps in that sense, you know, like those are the things that I always bring up when people are like, well, what about like work life? I was like, well, obviously, like you're gonna be working way too much, and that's kind of inevitable, but you gotta love it. But if you can bring your family along for the ride, like that changes things, I feel like, you know. But if you could sort of speak to it, obviously being the person that's living it, I'm just gonna be quiet now.
When me and my wife got together, and I was working at Longwood University, and university is probably, depending on, I was in D1, so that could be just as bad as professional baseball or professional sports or currently minor league baseball. They want to practice for 12 hours a day and then they have games, right? So we kind of had a pretty good routine when it came to that. And then, my son was with me, so we were able to kind of tag team that. And it's really all trying to find like a balance, right? Before I took this job here, we had conversations upon conversations of what will work, what can we do to make it work, so every weekday get or every weekend game they come, we have fireworks here every Friday. Yay. And
Yay for the
they
kids,
come.
though, right? Yay for the kids. Just
Yay for the kids.
that's way deep, far back in the mind, right?
And then they're here every Saturday. And then every like theme night they come. It's all about finding what works the best. Like I'm video chat them every morning, every night. And then before I come in, I get my son up, he gets on the bus. My two daughters aren't in school yet, so I'll get to take them to the babysitters, and every Friday we go to Dunkin' Donuts, and it's Donut Friday. It's just the little things, and then me and my wife will get a babysitter once a month, and we'll try to have date night, just kind of spend some time with for ourselves. And really, and I'm probably like the worst person to talk to this because I'm totally married to my job, right? And you probably talk to every groundskeeper on earth and they say the same thing. My wife tells me the same thing. But it's just about what really like what works, right? What works for me may not work for you, or I've had a lot of guys that do it totally different than I am. But a lot of like when I talk to the next generation, I always try to say like try to find work-life balance, because when I first got in the industry, there wasn't that crap at all. Like you were working until you were crawling back home, basically. But to
Climbing
just
over a
find
wall, you know, trying to like
you're like
wake up the
walking back
next
to your car
morning, you're
as a
like, wait,
zombie.
I'm doing this again? What did I do to myself?
Yeah, I mean there was a few times I actually fell asleep in my car and just slept in the parking lot. So
Nothing
I
wrong
mean
with that. We all have done it. It's happened.
So I mean it's just finding what works the best. Like my son's here quite a lot and he really enjoys it and has always enjoyed it even before now. Just kind of like we're poking holes in the surface. He's like, "Hey Dad, what is that? Like, what does this mean? Why do we do this? Why do you water the infield so much? Why are we tamping down, the clay that we have on the mound? Why does it have to be level? Why does it have to have an inch drop? Blah blah blah." So, he asks all the questions, and it's always a good time for me, right? It's he's my only son, right? So it's really awesome to have him interested, and hopefully when my daughters get old enough, and my 4-year-old daughter Emma, she actually helped me mow for the first time, and I had PPE on, so hopefully no one tries to cancel me.
Everyone was home. Okay. There was a seatbelt attachment. He created it. See, perfectly fine.
It was a good time. Like you just try to find those like little moments, when they're here. We try to go get cotton candy, ice cream. We try to have dinner with them. My family's a huge Chick-fil-A person. Our people, my wife hates it, but I'll eat Chick-fil-A every day if I have to.
Oh,
And she likes it. It's just we eat it so much with kids now, and anybody with kids will know Chick-fil-A. And we're not big McDonald's people. I'm from a small town, so Hardee's and McDonald's were literally the only thing I'd eat. I'm not. Yeah, I just can't do McDonald's anymore.
the
So
phase of your
our
life is
kids.
over. We get it. Yep, totally get
So
it.
our kids are like real big in Chick-fil-A, right? So. You know,
hey, they, it could be worse. You know, they could be in.
It could be worse.
You know, it could be like, oh goodness, we're going back there. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's how my wife feels, but.
True.
But I mean, it's just what works for you know, what works for you. Not everyone. And Dr. Gottlieb and his wife actually have a really good talk on work-life balance and, you know, marriage and this industry. And
Gottlieb's are the best.
Yeah, the Gottliebs are the best.
I love Dr. Gottlieb. He's one of the best people in the world.
For sure. Him and Dan are, like, hands down. If I could just have dinner with them every week and, like, really pick their brains with some stuff, yeah. I would.
All right, Dr. Gottlieb, you heard him. Now, you obviously, you're talking about your son, and it's incredible everything you have for them, you know, to ensure that balance. But you're talking about the next generation, you know, and there's so much that goes into that. And obviously, you know, we're very big on that here at Brentsville Turf, just a little bit, you know. what has it been like, you know, being able to, you know, like you said, Dakota is going to be a minor in turf and join the industry. What has it been like sort of having that as a part of your job, you know, being able to mentor, being able to have an impact like that and understand that responsibility? Because there's a lot of people that don't really see it as a responsibility and don't see it as their job. You know, there's just, hey, I need a neighbor, and that's who I'm adding. So what is it like for you being able to have that?
I mean, for me, you know, I'll kind of back it up. When I was in high school, I actually wanted to be a kindergarten teacher. Fun fact.
I'm going to be honest with you. Everyone's like, could you do elementary? I'm like, I would punt a child the way that they act, you know? Couldn't do it.
I mean, I mean now that I see my son in elementary school, I'm like, oh, thank God. But anyway, so originally I wanted to be a teacher, and you know, I couldn't play sports anymore. And fun fact, another fun fact, never played an inning of baseball. Hated baseball as a kid. Again, big soccer player, from North Carolina, so you know, soccer plays all year round, and played basketball. I'm 6'7", so you know, I think it'd be against the law if I didn't play basketball as a kid.
You were recruited by everyone. We got you.
Yeah. You know, as I was getting into the sports turf and just the turf industry altogether, you know, one thing I learned was, man, I can still teach people, right? Like, deep down, you know, when my career's over and, you know, when I decide to hang my hat up in minor league baseball, professional sports, hey, Drew, if you got an assistant, man, I'll be more than happy to come. Or just start a program like that.
Let me know.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, over the last few years, I've gotten to where, you know, my relationships with Virginia Tech professors gotten really, really good. And they have an online program that's a certificate program now for over a few months. And, you know, I help teach one of those classes. And, you know, a lot of those guys and girls are you know, a little bit older. They're not in college. But, you know, teaching them is still just as fun as teaching, like, say, Dakota's age or Landon's age, my son. But then it's kind of like, all right, this is cool. And then I get here, right? And then I start hiring, you know, we're in charge of bat boys. I'm probably one of the few groundskeepers that's actually in charge of bat boys. So, you know, I hire them. I hire game day staff. And I have about 22 of those in the stable. And a lot of them are younger high school, you know, kids that play baseball. And, you know, they're like, man, we love our sport. Can we do this? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we'll train them up and teach them. And, you know, hopefully one day maybe, right, if like one out of 10 would go into the sports turf industry or even the turf industry, hey, I'll take it, right? Or if they just take it as, hey, I know how to do this now, hey, I'll take it, right? It's a win. Like I said earlier, it's, you know, I instill it in my staff. If you don't learn one thing in life, you fail. Or you feel like a failure. At least that's how I feel. Some people might argue, but yeah, I mean, it comes with a job, and even our fans are like, hey, why do you do that? Some people that aren't even in turf, right? It's not all about the next generation of turf managers, but it's just public in general is always good, you know? So teaching the fans, teaching our staff, Having a good front office staff that communicates really well with the groundskeeper is great. And then being, hey, this is why we can't do this in the middle of July because we have Kentucky bluegrass. Hey, let's do this in, you know, April or October or September when it's a little more viable for bluegrass. So, yeah, I mean, it just comes with a job. And a lot of turf managers and people in turf don't realize they're actually teaching. And until later, or some people might not even realize they're doing it at all.
No, that's it. You put hit the nail on the head. Honestly, when you look at it, you know, there are certain people in this industry, you know, that, you know, were that mentor, you know, that, you know, had an impact and moved on. What I always bring up is Luke Yoder. You know, the amount of head groundskeepers in the MLB right now that worked for Luke at some point in their career, you know, from the John Turnowers to Bill Deacon to, you know, Matt Brown, Ryan Woodley through that. Like, all of these guys came sort of from that, if you would say, that tree, you know. And, you know, most of the time, they're not really thinking that they're educating anyone on that. But if you have certain people who have worked for you and you've had an impact in the sense of, hey, there's now six guys that worked for me that are now head groundskeepers at MLB. There's got to be some sort of, you know, lessons being learned, you know, at least some things that they've taken to, you know, be able and be, you know, professional enough or, you know, even just capable of being a head groundskeeper, you know. So couldn't agree with you more on that, you know. Something that goes sort of in with all of those things, obviously, you know, is, you know, guidance. What would you say, you know, to say one of your 10, one out of 10, that one person, you know, what would you tell them, just best words of advice when it comes to starting a career in this industry, you know, and moving into, again, such a tight knit, unique, you know, just a lot of people think it's off the wall in a sense for the conversation I've had with parents and stuff where it's like, this is what, like a job, like, what would be your best words of advice for them, you know, getting into this industry?
You know, I actually told a few of your former students a few weeks ago at Virginia Tech. You know, the phrase don't be a yes man is like so, I don't know, blah to me, right? There's nothing wrong with that in this, at least in this industry, right? You know, and you go to don't be afraid to talk to other people. You know, you go to SDMA events. And or SFM events, my bad.
It's all good.
And you know, you get to talk to guys like myself in minor league baseball, or you know, yourself at, you know, teaches. And let's not forget your history. You have a lot of history there that, you know, you could, you know, one person, right, always can change your career. You know, at Longwood University, Alpha Jones, who shout out to Alpha, he was my supervisor at the time, now a current board member, I think, in the national chapter. You know, some of the things that he told me changed my career. all right. Woo. It's just that time of year, man.
I got it too.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, just an opportunity, right? You know, I always tell, I guess in the past, golf has always had the most money, right? You know, superintendents, depending on where you work, make the more money than, you know, minor league baseball groundskeeper. But always branch out, right? If you get the opportunity, take it. Don't ever say no to something that might change your life forever. You know, again, back to Longwood, I took that opportunity and it changed my life forever. And fun fact, I had no idea what Roanoke or Salem was until my wife and I met, and she actually graduated from college, and Longwood University was my first step here. When I worked at Longwood in their athletic department, you know, Alpha took me on, and you know, now he's one of my colleagues here in Carolina League in Fayetteville. So, you know, it's never turn down an opportunity. Never be afraid to be a yes. If someone says, hey, you want to do this? As long as it's obviously, you know, obviously reasonable, say yes. Trust me, it will it would be worth it. So,
and I absolutely love that because it's funny. One of the biggest things I try to get across to, you know, groundskeepers, turf managers, really the entire industry as a whole, is all it takes is a moment. You know, there's just one moment where a kid, you know, is put in a situation where they can see, you know, for the first time something that might be, you know, their future, you know. One of the things that I always like try and get my kids to understand is sort of the gravity of situations that we put them in, you know, whether that's going down to Charlotte and being on the crew there, you know, for the Panthers, or, you know, being able to go and visit a college campus with Dr. Goatley. Like, there are people out there that wouldn't do that and they wouldn't be put in those situations, but being open to those, you know, specific opportunities and seeing it for the first time. Like, I've seen certain kids where I'm just like, they could be really good at this, but then they see it themselves and it's like, everything I'm doing is worth it. You know, like, that's it. All it takes is one moment for their future to change. So when I'm talking to professionals, like, hey, take some time out of your day. If you see someone who needs it, you know, have that impact. Maybe it doesn't come, maybe nothing comes of it, but like, one that I always bring up is Stephen Lord. I think it's advanced turf, but he was with the Reds before. He had a text, or he had a conversation with a family friend's son, right, about the Reds and everything. And he got a text from the dad saying, hey, just want to let you know my son's going to Nebraska for turf grass now. Like, that's what it's all about, you know. What a 2-second conversation with a family friend leads to that. Like, that's, I mean, it can be a complete game changer for our entire industry, you know? So I appreciate what you're saying because it's so true. And it's really how we're going to change this industry for the better moving forward, you know? Now, obviously, being a professional, going through all the motions of finding your way here, and this question is not really to make things easier or better, but if there's one thing you wish you could know or wish you knew when you first started off, what would that one thing be and why?
Oh, put me on the spot. Oh.
My favorite question.
Yeah. Honestly, I would say exactly what I just said, right? You know, I haven't always been this talkative. Early in my career, I was very quiet. I started here in Virginia, York County, for their Parks and Rec division. And I was one of those Parks and Rec guys that went to the symposium and sat in the corner and didn't talk. Because, you know, I was new to the state and, like, the operations of Parks and Rec. And, you know, I didn't ask questions. And I didn't, you know, that's one thing I wish I could have told myself was, get the hell up out of your seat and talk, right? You know, having guys like Jesse Emerson at Tech, Jesse at UVA, Brian at Liberty, like, having those opportunities just here in the state would have been great. I mean, I'm not saying my story didn't work out. I feel like it did. But, you know, I met Luke at the North Carolina, South Carolina, Myrtle Beach.
Sports Turf Show, yeah.
Yeah. Met him, right, and like talked to him for a good 5 minutes, and then I didn't ask any more questions, so he, you know, just went on about his business. Like, man, to have someone like that, which at the time, like, I knew he was cool, like, he had just left the Padres, I believe. Yeah. To have someone that big in front of my face, definitely, I wish I could have asked more questions. Nicole is the same way up in Baltimore. I wish I asked way more questions and, you know, just didn't be an introvert for a while there. And now, I mean, I'll talk my freaking head off. You know, you'll see me in Daytona and I'll try to talk to everyone just to, you know, again, kind of just like, hey, Drew, you know, you have this bluegrass or you have this Bermuda. What are you looking at? This is what I'm running into. So, I mean, it's good to have. I would say not to be so much of an introvert, and definitely family time more early in my career. Again, I had my son at a young age, so having more family time for him and just knowing when to shut it off. And obviously, you know, at the beginning of my career, we didn't really have the work-life balance. We didn't have Lisa, Mike Goatley saying, oh, hey, you got to do, you know, this is really important. Again, there was times I slept on my Jeep. You know, I would say that, you know, communicate with, you know, some of the, I guess, the legends or the big time names. And then just figure out the family stuff before. But, I mean, obviously, it wasn't too late. My wife's still married with me, but.
Congratulations. But, still going well.
Yeah, almost 10 years together. But, you know, it's family time for sure. And then just being, you know, or I guess figuring out the family time.
A lot. I love how you bring up, you know, communicating with the big names. Like, what is truly unique about our industry is that those big names want to talk to you. You know, it's not. Yeah. Usually when you look at an industry, like, I mean, even just Hollywood, you can't get a hold of anyone. You can't try and get it, whatever. Like, they're not going to talk to you. Like, that's just how it is. But, like, everyone in this industry is so down to earth, you know, like, just talking to the professionals. Like, again, when you talk about, like you said, Luke's, like, career of all careers, right? He opened, like, 3 MLB stadiums. He's, like, all this stuff, right? And just like the nicest guy, you know, willing to talk to you about anything and everything when it comes to dirt. You know, it's just truly incredible to have that opportunity, even if it's just a message on Twitter or sorry, X, apologies, Elon, don't cancel me. But like literally like all it is just a quick conversation you can have via anything, really, phone call, whatever. That's what's truly what I love about this industry, you know, and that's why I do what I do for even just this, you know, being able to, you know, tell people stories and be able to connect them through that, you know. I've had certain kids that have been on this podcast. They said that they mentioned a name or somebody that they were interested in working for, and they got a DM the next day because they listened to the podcast. So I was like, all right, well, I guess there's at least one person listening.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, going Twitter or X, whatever.
That's right. Elon.
Don't cancel me twice, please. You know, even that is so big, right? You know, I'm a millennial, so big in technology. I have a pretty decent following on Twitter or on X, and about 7 million on X, and you know, I follow a good amount of people in it, and it's not even just like sports turf, it's golf, right? You know, those people in that industry will see pretty similar things to us. So it's always good to have, you know, I talk to quite a lot of people on X, and you know, there's even like products in Europe that might work here that, you know, I've you know, had here and I'm testing currently. That if you weren't on X or social media altogether, really, you may not have those opportunities. And you know, I've had a few coaches, high school coaches, that have taken care of a field that are like, hey, can you help us with this? Send me pictures. I mean, it's like almost like an open book, right? For social media. Like, you know, 10 years ago, I had a BlackBerry. Well, not maybe more than that.
You were the coolest kid in town. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Senior high school.
I was like the razor.
Yeah,
that was me in eighth grade. I was like, I've made it. It's happening.
Sophomore year in high school, I had the Crazer. It was the music.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I'm from a small town, I lived in a small town, so you know, everyone had like the iPhones and the Razors, and then I was the only one with the Crazer. So I was like, oh yeah, big man on campus, baby. But yeah, I mean, it kind of like. Social media goes back to my whole point is like networking, right? It's so huge in this industry. And, you know, I try to tell Dakota that he was here with me, and he's, you know, my old assistant at River's Edge. He's becoming something of himself in this industry. And, you know, shout out to the Salem Red Sox, my management, but we have a full-time assistant finally happening here. And I'll actually be able to bring on a summer intern this summer. So, you know, it's it opens up a lot of opportunities, and I've even had some people ask, some kids that have messaged me on Twitter and said, "Hey, do you have internships?" And you know, I mean, that's kind of the way we live right now, right? Social media and all that's so big. So for sure, being able to, I mean, I can DM Luke, I can DM you, be like, "Hey, Drew, you know." Or you reached out on X for me to be on this podcast. So so it's kind of like it's everyone's just a fingertip away and a short message. So, I mean, for sure, that's a big part of this industry and being able to talk to the bigger names. And, you know, it's always fun.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. This has been incredible. Congratulations again on the back-to-back Field of the Years. Congratulations on being done for the winter. Hopefully the week and a half feels like a month because you deserve it. And you know, hopefully you have a wonderful Christmas with the family. Again, I can't thank you enough for taking the time.
Hey, no problem, Drew. And anytime I'm in town, I'll come swing by. I'd love to meet
some of your students. Do it. We'll do one in the studio, you know. Yeah, we'll have it in the studio for the next one, all right?
Let's do it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.